welcome to the third episode of Help Wanted, a podcast about housework shared from the perspective of the women doing the cooking, cleaning, and caring each and every day. I'm your host, Stephanie Doolittle. Andy Xia, or she is called by her endearing nickname in Chinese, Xiao Xia, is from the province of Anhui, about 400 miles from Shanghai, a place considered the countryside if you are in a bustling city with over 20 million people. I had to walk sideways to balance up the narrow, dusty staircase leading to the room Xiao Xia rents in the middle of the city. She tells me to keep my shoes on, which normally would be a major taboo in Chinese culture, but she also tells me not to worry. We people from the countryside are more casual. Xiao Xia has actually spent more of her life in Shanghai than her home province of Anhui. She, like many other migrant workers in China that moved from the countryside to the fast-growing cities that dot China's eastern coastline, came with a dream of building a better future. She followed her mom to the city, who since Xiao Xia was 10 had been working in Tianjin, a major city outside of Beijing. So growing up, she saw her mom only once or twice a year. She was raised by her extended family and her father. As a little girl, she recalls crying every year her mom left to work in the city, playing games like locking her mom's bag to the family bicycle, with the hope of keeping her mom home just a little longer.
种棉花你知道吗?
Her family in Anhui owned land and grew cotton, but from a young age, she knew she never wanted to stay in the countryside. Like many young migrant workers, it is a combination of seeking out more opportunity and also pure drive for adventure. Staying in the countryside feels like you are being left behind. It made sense economically, of course, for Xiao Xia to join her mom in Shanghai, as their family business made very little money, she told me. So her options were working in a factory like her two older siblings or going to the city. She chose the city. At 17, she took her first job in Shanghai at a dumpling shop located in the center of the city at the time. The dumpling shop is no longer. It was demolished almost a decade ago now and replaced with luxury shopping malls and apartments. But it was hard for her to forget this first job. She woke 6 days a week at 4 a.m. to chop vegetables, knead, fold, and wrap the perfect circles of dough to be steamed and fried. At night, the shop would become the dorm room where she slept on the floor with the other workers. Her mom was living in another part of Shanghai, and she would see her once a week. At that time, her mom made her money going around the city to different families' homes to clean and wash their laundry, making the equivalent of 20 cents an hour. This was not the city life she was expecting. She lasted in her first job for less than a year, but took with her a love for cooking, and to this day is a master at whipping up a fresh plate of dumplings. She used the network of other migrants from her hometown to find another job working for a Taiwanese family that made a special kind of tobacco. The family treated her like one of their own. For several years, she worked cooking and cleaning homes of different Taiwanese families. One family even asked her to move to southern China with them, but she and her mom decided against the idea. She was only 22 then, but had recently been introduced to the man who a year later would become her husband. So she stayed in Shanghai. This man was 2 years older than her and worked in another part of Shanghai selling fish. She was introduced to him by a friend from her hometown that she had gone to school with. At first she told me she was hesitant to date him because his hometown was 260 miles away from hers. But in the end, they decided they would live together in Shanghai, so they could reconcile the fact that they were from different hometowns. When she was 23, the couple prepared and paired for a wedding in Shanghai. It was small, she told me, only 10 tables. Within a year, she was pregnant. She stopped working for a few months, and she told me her mom stepped in to help watch the baby when she went back to work. She only wanted one child, she told me directly. Tutoring classes for one subject can cost up to 1,800 RMB, or over $200 a month, which is almost a fourth of her salary. So how could her family think of affording one more child, she told me. At this point, her husband, son, and her are all living together in Shanghai. But at some point, she knew her son would have to leave Shanghai and return to their hometown to finish high school. This is due to China's strict internal migration registration system, which ties your social rights to wherever your mother is from, so rural Anhui for Xiaoxia and her son. It means he must take the college entrance exam in his home province, and to prepare for this entrance exam, he must study high school in his home province. So when he was 13, she sent him and her husband back to their hometown. It was decided that her husband would accompany her son home, as he had tragically developed cancer a few years earlier. They took him for treatment at Shanghai hospitals, despite having to pay out of pocket since, again, they are not considered legal in Shanghai and therefore cannot get medical treatment without paying extortionist rates. Side note, they were able to afford much of this treatment due to the kindness of a French-Russian family who Xiaoxia was working for at the time, and this family paid for a majority of the treatment. The treatment saved his life for the time being, but he was unable to take on full-time work again or anything strenuous. So the couple decided it was time for him to leave Shanghai as well. While she claims they have a good relationship, she also told me he's only good for simple tasks, and she is debating when she will have to head home to make sure her son is getting proper attention to prepare him for his college exams.
今年20年了。
Perhaps
this thought is amplified by the fact that last year the French-Russian family had to reduce her hours significantly, so she is now looking for more houses to clean. For over 5 years, she cared for the two young girls of this family like they were her own. And she still babysits for them occasionally on evenings and delights in showing me videos of one of the girls singing in Chinese on TikTok. She herself loves to make singing videos on TikTok. She proudly shows me, clarifying that she is lip singing in these videos and not actually singing.
它里面有人唱歌，但是我的这个嘴型一定要对的，你看，我一定要对的准，不然就不行。姑娘，勇敢唱出你的爱。I
find out just how much she loves singing when we go to a monthly gathering of house cleaners in Shanghai, where the women get together and a teacher comes to either share about etiquette or maybe teach an English class or two. But mostly they come together to laugh, dance, eat, and sing. In the 4 years that I've known Xiaoxia. She flips back and forth from telling me she couldn't imagine herself living anywhere else than Shanghai, to a strong longing for the countryside and to be with her family. She claims to me that working in the city is the only way to survive and make money in China. But then once you get there, you're forever kept on the outside. This is a mixed sentiment many migrant workers feel. At first, it's pride that they have moved to the city, make more money, and are living an urban, cultured life. But then they also know that they are limited by China's internal housing registration system. And perhaps even worse, that the urban Shanghainese will never accept them as anything more than cleaners or outsiders. Fully aware of this reality, she told me that her and her husband bought an apartment a few years ago in their hometown. And just last year, they were able to start fixing it up and putting in furniture. She shows me a video of her son and husband sitting on a brand new black couch, perched in front of a large screen TV, in a room of freshly painted plain white walls. It's much cleaner, and probably three times as large as the room we are sitting in now that she calls home in Shanghai, which also has no bathroom, just a sink and a toilet haphazardly jammed in the corner of the room. She has to shower in a public space here, but she says she's used to it and doesn't need to shower every day. Before coronavirus swept the nation, her dad was already very sick, and so with no stable job in Shanghai, she told me she decided to go home, be with her dad and her family, and then stay for China's Spring Festival. She finally got to move into the apartment she had put all her savings towards. But like always when we chatted over the phone, when China and the world were in lockdown, she told me she longed to be back in Shanghai. She said she was continuing to look for work there, using reference letters from past families she cleaned for, but refusing to use middle companies because they took a 30% commission. Her dad passed away in May this year, and she told me she was happy to have the extra time with him. Now she continues to stay with her family in Anhui, with one side fully engaged in her son's education, and the other looking for an opportunity to work back in Shanghai. 你看,你如果长得想到漂亮一点的,大一点的,你可以这样做。 This concludes the stories for season one. Do stay tuned for our next season, where we'll move to another city to hear the stories of women doing the cooking, cleaning, and caring, and all that other work that gets done around the home, which rarely gets the attention and credit it deserves.